Welcome to Picks with the Professor, the show where a real statistics professor gives you sports betting tips. This is an early edition for Major League Baseball, Friday, April 12th. I'll be looking into doing some of these recordings a little bit early, so keep tabs of that if you're one who likes to watch the show when it comes out. We're hoping to get it out here a little bit earlier in the day before. That way, people who want to watch the night before don't have to stay up to some ungodly hour if you live on the East Coast to watch the show. So we'll see if we can do this more times than not earlier in the day. So not much to talk about yet on Thursday, other than Cousin Jared and I talked about over the week, the roller coaster ride continues. And maybe the rest of the day will turn out fine for us, but you know, the Braves game did not go the way that we wanted it to. The Astros game did not go the way we wanted to, though I would be remiss if I did not point out we're in the, you know, middle innings of this Astros game, and I think the total number of base runners is like 12-9. And that's the sort of variance that we've talked about. You know, Hunter Brown got hit around, absolutely, but, you know, the Astros have had multiple guys on every inning, it seems like, with some walks, some good hits, and the Royals did all one inning. If the Astros could have just put all that one inning, they'd have 9 runs too. And that's not really a skill, the ability to do it in one inning. If you're a terrible pitcher and giving it up in one inning, maybe that is a skill or lack thereof, right? So that's the caveat of this, of course. Hunter Brown looked terrible, and I think his rating seems like a massive hit after this start. He just was throwing them, letting guys hit the ball hard all day long off him. That was terrible. But my point in general is it's frustrating here, this roller coaster ride we're on, where one day is super incredible, the next day just looks like, you know, nothing's going right at all. And that's just what's happening here with this, with some of this kind of bad variance. You know, had the right take about don't really trust either pitcher. Singer didn't look great. Give up a bunch of base runners, just happened to give up 2, and in some cases 3 base runners per inning, and gave up a home run into the wind. That was a no doubter. Each pitcher gave up one home run, right? But, you know, Brown was obviously the worst, weaker pitcher in that, but just the fact that both pitchers were kind of questionable, and it's just one team bunched their hits together and got a ton of runs in the first inning, and one team just decided they're going to get 2-3 hits an inning and not do anything. And that's just, it is both the way it goes. It is also just really frustrating, the roller coaster ride that we've had this season. And that's just been every day, it's just been things are going great or things are going terrible. So who knows how today will go. You know, hopefully better. Hopefully at least we'll start off better. No day games on Friday, of course, but we've got a handful of games here that have no lines out yet. All of that will be available on Dub Club with the morning update. So check that out. If you're not there yet, you can get a free trial for 10 days to start you out there with that QR code with the link in the show description, summaries, all sorts of extra information and picks when you're unable to watch a show or when we aren't able to have one, like on Sundays, including first five. There's a couple games I'm going to mention here. I think we're going to have some good first five edges on that we aren't making an official play on yet, just because I want to see the first five numbers, which are usually much later to come out. So a lot of benefits over there on Dub Club. Some quick reminders, of course, for information about the model community rules, pickswiththeprofessor.com/new. You do not need to comment. You know that we lost the Braves under, I'm well aware of that. You need to comment that we lost the Astros. Assuming we lost the Astros, I don't think they're going to make the miracle of comebacks here. I already know that, right? When things are good, that's great. We like to be positive. When things are bad, I'm well aware of it. And we're working to try to figure out how to fix it, and or how much of this is just bad variance and what's a roller coaster. And unfortunately, early on, you know, it's hard to tell what's what, but you know, we have a track record here of baseball being really good, and so for now we're just gonna making sure everything's in tip-top shape, and hopefully we won't be quite so much ups and downs, because that's really frustrating. Of course, hopefully we can just get more slow and steady wins, which is what we had really all football season, which was a lot more fun. But you know, that's kind of the point here on the screen that we're talking about. We're projecting average games. In one game, you never know how a team's going to bunch their hits. You never know, for instance, with the Braves, and of course, Winans got destroyed in the third inning. But to start off the game, it started off bad because the Braves made 3 pretty bad defensive miscues. 2 really bad ones. Riley's, I guess you could at least excuse a little bit. I think a major leaguer needs to make that play in the first 2 innings that allowed 3 runs. And I'm not sure he should have allowed a single one of them. And it's like, you know, that's, you know, starts you off behind the 8 ball. I don't think it really mattered in that game, right? But you don't expect that in an average game. In one game, that sort of stuff happens. It's going to happen for us. It's going to happen against us. It's going to balance out. It just might take a while. In this Astros game, we had the Royals left fielder just drop a routine fly ball. We're gonna get some of those in some games that are close and matter. It's gonna help us win rather than in a game that's a blowout that nobody cares about, right? Because it's already long decided. But in the one game, you just never know what's gonna happen. So that's something to, of course, keep in mind. Anything is a good bet at the right price or the right number. We're gonna talk specifically about that a couple of these cases here. No locks in gambling, so don't put too much of your bank on one game because we have no one knows what's gonna happen. And unfortunately, like I said, there just are no locks in gambling, as much as other people might like to use that phrase. But as always, take what you like and leave the rest. And if you can't like the show, that helps other people find us. And we like that. Starting off here, Pirates and the Phillies. No pick to start us off in a game that I think is priced really well as of right now. And so, you know, as always, we'll check the first five. We'll check the run line markets, which aren't even out yet at this point. So all we're dealing with is money line totals. See if there's an angle on this later. But I mean, at least for right now, it's priced really well. The Phillies are decent favorites, and they should be. And so my what I want to say on this game basically is just don't see the Phillies at the current price of, you know, minus 155, minus 160, and say, hey, you know, let's throw them into a moneyline parlay or something. The risk isn't worth the reward. Doesn't mean the Phillies don't win, but it's just not great value. The model says they win 58% of the time, and they should be favored, just maybe not quite as much as they are. Unfortunately, they're not favored by so much that the Pirates have value, at least as of right now. Maybe a bunch of Phillies money comes in. Maybe something happens in Thursday night's game that changes our opinion of this, but I mean, right now, when you look at this, the biggest difference is Bailey Falter and Christopher Sanchez. Falter, not a good pitcher, has not done very well at all in his two starts this season. The underlying metrics are actually worse than his 5.40 ERA. And you compare that with Christopher Sanchez, a guy who you might not love his ERA this season, 4.82, but the underlying metrics are more positive than that. He's a guy that we've kind of liked here in the past, I'm optimistic on. And so it's a big starting pitcher edge for the Phillies. And that's why they are favored as they should be. Unfortunately, the books are in lockstep with us. And so just don't think there's a great edge on it. Weather-wise, we're looking at mid-50s, wind blowing slightly out, maybe a little bit of rain. We're really far in advance to know those specifics. But at least as of right now, the cooler temperatures, but maybe the wind blowing out, should make it play relatively run-of-the-mill, at least as of now. But as always, morning update, we'll have all that weather information. Twins and Tigers, we're going to take the Twins here. This is a repeat of the game we talked about yesterday. So I'm assuming you watched yesterday's show. If you didn't, you can go back and watch that. But Cousin Jared and I already broke this game down. Pablo Lopez and Tarik Skubal, two fantastic starting pitchers, two maybe questionable offenses, two solid bullpens. A very much coin toss game. And so we're getting the Twins at plus 110. Offers us reasonable value. Yesterday, I think we had plus 113. Now we have plus 110. Either way, not bad for a who the heck knows type game. I think we're getting some value in this game because people are looking at Skubal. They're hyped about him, excited about him, and there's no reason you shouldn't be, but they're then overvaluing a little bit him and a little bit what the Tigers were to start the season, which is good. But this Twins team has still been consistently solid, much more so historically. We still think their offense is a little bit better, even though Royce Lewis isn't around. They still have a good bullpen. And Pablo Lopez has been one of the most underrated and disrespected pitchers in the past probably 2 or 3 years anyway. So this is one where the Tigers might win, but they're favored at like minus 120, minus 125 right now. And it's like, that's a little much. So the Twins are offering this value at plus 110. Again, we went over it a little bit more in yesterday's show if you want to check that out. Otherwise, though, we'll continue to move forward here with the Giants and the Rays, a game that has no line right now because we are not confirmed on the starting pitchers. Plugging in what Fangraphs has of Keaton Wynn and Tyler Alexander would make this a game that the model projects the Giants to win 55% of the time on the strength of the discrepancy there starting pitcher-wise. Notice if this is the starting pitcher matchup, the righty-lefty situation here, the Giants will be facing a lefty. They are left-handed heavy, worse on lefties. The Rays will be facing a righty. They are right-handed heavy, worse on righty. So the offenses take a little bit of a ding with the righty-lefty matchup here. The Rays are the better team in this regard. Offense is a little bit better. Bullpen's a little bit better. But the starting pitcher is a big difference. I am high on Keaton Wynn here. I know that his ERA hasn't looked great in those first two starts, but the underlying metrics suggest he's a reasonably decent pitcher. I say high. I'm not high. Like, I don't think he's going to win the Cy Young, but I think he's decent enough. The underlying metrics, FIP, XFIP, are in the low fours. All the projections here that I've got for him based off of historical data, et cetera, I think he'll be okay. Whereas Tyler Alexander, I have no faith in whatsoever. He's started once. He's come out of the pen once or twice. Almost a run per inning. Underlying metrics are insanely shaky. So I don't know what's going to happen with this pitching matchup. I don't know if either one of these guys is confirmed at this point. So if this is a different matchup, we'll have all that update for Dub Club. Otherwise, though, this would be a situation where the Giants should be favored. But this Giants offense can really disappear at times. So we just don't want to pay too big of a price on the Giants. We backed them against the Nats. We tried to back them three times. We ended up backing them twice. And every time it had really more to do with the opposing pitcher the Giants were facing. Monday was a little bit about Snell, I guess. But then Tuesday, we tried to fade Josiah Gray. He's one of the guys we love to fade. And then Wednesday, we tried to fade Patrick. We faded Patrick Corbin, and that worked out really well. It's really about the opposing pitchers that we're fading. And if we back the Giants again, it'll be the same situation. We'll be fading. If it's Tyler Alexander, we'll be fading him. It's not about the Giants. It's about just who they're playing, right? So it's not so much that I love the Giants. I don't. It's that there might be some value on them because of just the opposition, right? Less about them. You know, it's not you, it's me, that sort of thing. But again, official pick on this one, if we have one, will come in the morning when we have more information. Brewers and the Orioles, also no line on this game as of yet. That's because the Brewers game against the Reds was rained out, and we aren't sure exactly on the starting pitcher situation what we're going to do here, what'll happen. If we assume it's Freddie Peralta, who would have started on Thursday, that's the numbers that you're seeing on screen here. As good as Freddie Peralta is, and we love us some Freddie Peralta, it still is not enough to make the Brewers favored in this game, even against a mediocre pitcher in Tyler Wells, a pitcher whose underlying metrics are probably a little bit more promising than his ERA so far in the first 11 innings of the season. But the Orioles bullpen is a little bit better. The Orioles offense is a lot better, almost by a full standard deviation, more than a full standard deviation when you compare righty versus righty. And so the Orioles should be slight favorites in this one. This would be a really good matchup. You know, the Orioles are a good team, but Freddie Peralta can get anybody a win. So we'd have the Orioles as slight favorites here around the price of minus 112 is what the model says. Again, we'll see about a price in the morning or maybe later tonight when there's a lineup. But for right now, no pick available because no line is available. Weather-wise, we are looking low 50s and the wind blowing out at about 10 to 15 miles an hour. So another game where the temperature would make the ball not fly as much. The wind will offset that and kind of make us play more like a run-of-the-mill average park rather than a pitcher or hitter-friendly situation. Rockies and the Blue Jays, low to mid-40s for this one. So projecting the roof closed in Toronto. No official pick on this one yet. If I had to play it right now, the over 8 would be what I would pick. It's a C-grade play. Here's the thing. I don't trust the Rockies to score on the road. I haven't trusted them to score at Coors, and they haven't scored a lot there. I don't trust them to score against Gausman, who's still a very good pitcher. I think the Blue Jays can score some runs against Ryan Feltner, who's, I guess, maybe the Rockies' best pitcher. Has got two solid starts. The underlying metrics are solid. I mean, if he keeps doing this, he'll end up, you know, as an above average grade. I don't know how much we should buy in to those two first two starts, how much of that's, you know, real. But, I mean, he's probably their best pitcher. So I'm not dying to play the over because right now over 8's minus 120 and the model projects 8.4. So it's like, you know, you're not getting any value really on that 8. It's not like it's if we projected 9.4 and I was getting over 9, you know, or we projected 8.9 and I was getting 8.5. Maybe that like falls into a better spot. But I'm just not dying to play the over with Gausman pitching and the Rockies offense involved. And if Feltner is their best pitcher, like, if anybody's going to hold the Blue Jays down, it's going to be on the Rockies. It's going to be him. So I'm just not dying to play. And obviously the Blue Jays are favored. They should be favored. They're going to score some runs. I mean, the issue here is just the fact that, man, the price is really high. The model says the Blue Jays win this 71% of the time, and that correct price should be minus 245. That's a no juice price. And the price we're pulling in is minus 245 on the Blue Jays. So, I mean, I guess if you had to, that's the play is the Blue Jays. And then at that point, maybe you look run line, but then they're the home team, so the run line's not very fun. So we probably would be looking like, if you made me pick a side, you know, Blue Jays minus one. But I mean, yeah, it's just a steep price. And we are at least sitting, the model gives, you know, dings the Rockies on the road. Because they, their statistics, their projections, their metrics, everything are based off of half their games being at home, and you know, they have one of the best home field advantages in baseball, of course, we've long talked about. So the model then has to ding them a little bit on the road, and we like to fade the Rockies on the road, so it's fade the Rockies or pass. I would not back them on the road, really, unless you gave me some price that I'm never going to get. You know, you can be like plus 500. I'm sure I'd take the Rockies, right? And he's had a good pick at the right price, but I don't think we're going to see anything that starts with a three on the Rockies, unfortunately. So, I mean, it's fade the Rockies or pass. It's just like you don't want to pay too high of a price, and that's kind of what we're seeing right now is the price is just really high. So I don't know. This is a case, and there's going to be another game that I talk about later that, like, I don't know, maybe you should just bite the bullet and play the Blue Jays run line, or maybe you should look Blue Jays alternate run line at 2.5. The team totals, the other issue, like, I just don't think there's going to be value. It's going to be, it's not out right now, but my hunch is it's going to be like 5.5, which is a really high number, especially if there's any juice attached to it. Like, I just don't, you might be able to do something like that and just say, look, dude, you're overthinking it. Just take the Blue Jays on the run line. But the price is just not giving me a lot of reward for my risk is the unfortunate thing here. So I can't do it right now. At least the price isn't good enough. But like I said, if I had to play right now, I'd play the over. But this is one where I definitely want to see the first five. There might be some value there, a couple of different angles, based off which one the number comes out, because when you have a situation like this where the drop-off from Gausman to the relievers is pretty big, the drop-off to the Rockies relievers is pretty big, I don't know which way they're going to go on the first five, side and total. And so we're going to find out a lot about how they view Feltner, how much they think of that as real, how they view the drop-offs of these bullpens. And the books can go a lot of different ways. And depending on exactly where they go for this first five market, we might have an edge there. So that's something, of course, to check out in the morning on the update. 7:10 p.m. Eastern, Braves at the Marlins. Still no pick here. Only have one more game without a pick later on, or maybe two more games without a pick. So we're getting this a pick soon, so hang in there with me, people. Max Fried and Trevor Rogers, a pair of lefties here. What is up with Max Fried? I mean, I have no idea. Two just disastrous starts. An 18 ERA, underlying metrics that are not nearly as bad as 18, but are very concerning and nowhere near what we have grown accustomed to for him. I mean, he was a guy that at one point last year was really challenging, you know, Strider for best pitcher in the Braves and best healthy pitcher in baseball. It was looking great for the Braves having that 1-2 punch. And, you know, a little bit of injury and now this, starting off the season, is just disastrous. I don't know how you can back him at this point. I backed him the second start. I was like, hey, that's fine. Like, I think we did in the under. I was like, but I found a way to back him, to support him, you know, to put my money down on him doing well. Cause I was like, that first start was weird. And there was that like pitch right on the middle that should have gotten him out of the first inning without any runs, I believe, maybe one, but I think it was none. And it's like, maybe he does better after that, because then, you know, he gave up a couple hits, he's fatigued, and they have to pull him because it's the first start of the year. And that second start, like, I just don't know. I feel like I got to see more from him at this point, because he's one that I'm obviously thankful. I don't want anybody to be hurt, but it's like, you would not have been surprised if like the next day they were like, no, he's got elbow discomfort, because it just does not look good so far for him. Maybe he'll figure it out. If you're going to figure it out, the Marlins are a team to do it against, one of the weaker offenses in baseball. As you can see, they're on screen with that grade. So the Braves have a big edge on offense. Relievers, they have a big edge. The Marlins relievers are very shaky. They've been very shaky this year. Even when they have succeeded in closing out a win, one of, I think, the two they've got came against the Yankees here a couple nights ago. That was very shaky. I mean, they had runners on a couple of innings late, and it got a little dicey for them there. So the Braves have a massive edge on offense and reliever. Trevor Rogers isn't anything special to write home about, but it's like if Max Fried decides to give up five runs in the first inning, that's tough. Now, like, especially the day after the Braves give up all these runs to the Mets, like, what exactly is going to happen here with their bullpen? How many guys they've got? I don't know. It's a little bit scary. So right now the lean would be to the Braves just because they have edges everywhere. Minus 175 though is too steep for Max Fried. I think this game, if you overreact to what Fried did in his first two starts, and maybe you should, I'm not saying you should or shouldn't. I don't know the answer. I don't know. But if you overreact, if you react strongly, maybe I should say, to those first two games, I think this game is priced perfectly, where the Braves are favored by a little bit. They should be, but I mean, you're kind of there. If you underreact, I think you're like, maybe there's some good value on the Braves here. And if you want to play a money line, you want to play a minus one, that I think makes a lot of sense. If you want to just go run line since they're on the road, you know, they'll get that extra bat and just be a little more aggressive, take the minus one and a half. The Marlins don't have relievers, the Braves play add on. Then you're going to have value in the Braves. So I think your feel on this game has to do with how do you feel about Max Fried and what happened in those first two starts. If you think he can get back on track, I think you have to like the Braves. It's Braves or pass. If you're really worried about them, I think you say this price in the Braves is too steep. It's just not worth the investment. I'm going to move on. The total's priced really well. And again, how you feel about Max Fried's going to tell you how you feel about the total too. So it's tied together in that regard as well. So if I had to play it, I'm looking Braves minus one, maybe minus one and a half. We'll see. Run line's not even out yet. Maybe we'll have a pick on this in the morning if the number changes around. But at least for now, not running to play anything there. We are running to play something here in this one, Yankees and Guardians. A grade pick on the Guardians at plus 117. I love us our A grade plus odds plays because those are always fun here in this wrong team favored type game. Typically, if it's an underdog that we take as an A grade, it's either going to be 50-50-ish to win or better, or it's we're getting a run and a half, whatever. So in this case, coin toss game plus 117, great value. Sign me up. Run the Guardians here. This game has value, in my opinion, because I think people are like, the Yankees are back. They're 10-3. The Guardians just lost to the White Sox and just needed a walk-off or whatever to beat them in the other game. Those are true statements. The Yankees also just lost to the Marlins. So it's like, if we can't like look at one or two games, right? The Guardians are 9-3 for a reason. Their offense has played a lot better this year. How much of that is real? I'm not really 100% sure, right? It's like I've long talked about, especially at the start of the season, exactly how much we react, overreact, underreact to what's happening is not an exact thing. We can do an average, right? But each individual situation might need to be a little bit more or less. Here's what I'll say is that the Yankees have a better offense, but the Guardians have the better bullpen. Yankees have a better starting pitcher, games in Cleveland. All of that's what cancels us out and makes us a 50-50 contest. Pitching-wise, it'll be Clark Schmidt and Carlos Carrasco. Yankees have the edge here, but I'm not sure it's by a ton. And here's why. While these two pitchers have similar ERAs in the season, you know, Carlos Carrasco in his eight innings has a FIP under three. You know, the FIP and XFIP for Clark Schmidt, mid-upper threes. Projections again are going to lean a little bit more towards Schmidt, but I mean, I'm just not sure the difference is that big. Yankees have a better offense, absolutely. But with the Guardians bullpen, like I think all of this kind of cancels out. I kind of think personally, when I look at this, I kind of think maybe this should be Yankees more 51-52%, but it shouldn't be enough to be priced with them. And that's why we like the A grades, because at plus 117, even if it is 52% Yankees, that still makes Guardians 48%. Pretty smart. So we're always comparing to those probabilities to try to figure out what we like and what we don't like. And in this case, the Guardians at this price are a pretty good investment. I would not be playing the Guardians A grade at minus 110, being in a coin toss game, but a plus 117. Again, we just want to do this, you know, 500 times over the course of the season. And if we can do that and win roughly half of them at these type of odds, we're making money. So that's our goal here. Guardians plus 117, A grade pick. But as always, remember to shop around. Every nickel and dime you can save, or every nickel and dime you can get a better number on, wins you more when you lose. When you win, loses you less when you lose. If you're not there already, BetUS is a great book to sign up with. 125% bonus on your first ever three deposits. Sign up link in the show description.
BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook and casino. Live betting and racebook. We're celebrating 30 years with a historic offer, a 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits, plus 10% gambler's insurance. Get started today. BetUS, where the game begins.
7:10 p.m. Eastern, Angels and the Red Sox. A little chilly in Boston, low 50s. Wind will be blowing out to left center on this one, so similar night as we talked about in a lot of these places now, a little bit chilly night, but wind blowing out should offset that and make this weather, make the weather impact very minimal. Boston, of course, can play as a very hitter-friendly ballpark. Reed Detmers and Tanner Houck for game two of this series is what is being projected right now on Fangraphs, but there is no lineup yet. We have not confirmed the starting pitchers, and so we cannot say for sure. But the model does project a little over 10 runs as of right now. Obviously, we want to see that weather update in the morning, but this is one where if I could get over 9, I would love that. I'm not sure. I feel like the books are going to hang 9.5. They probably, again, should be hanging 10, but over 9.5 is the number I don't love going over. But we'll see there. We'll see on the side. Model says the Red Sox should be favored when 57% of the time. That translates to a price of about minus 130. So we'll see if there's any value whenever the line comes out. 7:40 p.m. Eastern, Reds and the White Sox. There should be Royals and the Mets. I'm confused on the games here. They're a little bad over here. Royals, we'll go Royals and the Mets. 7:10. One more 17 p.m. game. Or take the Mets at an A grade, minus 117. Model says they win 58% of the time. This is a game that is a reminder to us that sports betting is not easy. And many of you watching this are like, duh, I know that. I'm not saying the Royals don't win this game or the Mets win this game. I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball, unfortunately. What I will say is the Royals have played great so far this season. Their offense looks great. And it's trending towards, you know, by the time we're in the morning update after what they did here in that first inning, their offense, you know, will jump up to 97, 98, whatever. I don't know. It'll just continue to get a little bit better. And you have to be excited if you're a Royals fan. I don't want to rain on that parade. What I will say is if you're just looking at this thinking the Mets are terrible, the Royals are good, plus odds on the Royals is easy money, I'm here to remind you that sometimes it is that easy and sometimes it is not. And that's the difficult job sports betting is trying to figure out when is it that easy. Don't overthink it. Just take the team that's playing well. And when is that a trap? There's no such thing as a trap. They're not trying to fool anybody. They're just trying to figure out how to survive and make money. If you think they're thinking about how to trap you, you think they have way more time than they do. I can promise you that. They're just trying to figure out how to get money, how to get you to bet both sides and then take some money. How to entice you to play a parlay because the hold's like three times higher. That's all they're trying to do. If they can spend any extra time, I don't want to go on a rant on this. If they can spend any extra time trying to figure out anything, how to trick you, it's going to be tricky into playing some of those same game parlays where the hold is three times the amount. That's what they want to get you to do. They're not trying to trick you on just the main game line. They're just trying to survive the main game line because that's not where they're making their money, which is why those are what we tend to attack. Anyway, I don't know what's going to happen in this one game. And that's what we talked about from the start, right? We're predicting an average game. And on average, this is a pretty even contest until you consider the fact that the game's in New York, which gives them a couple percentage points boost. And then you consider that the Mets have a better bullpen. And that's where the Mets get their edge, is late in the game and the fact that they're at home. If the Royals win this game, it's going to be, then I guarantee you, the narrative is going to be, this was an easy pick. I can't believe we got the Royals at plus odds. They're playing great and the Mets are terrible. And if the Mets win this game, the narrative is going to be, oh, it was a stinky line and they trapped you or whatever. And like neither one of those are right. The point is there's a probability the Mets win this game. It is somewhere in the low, mid, upper 50s. The books have it priced in the low 50s. I've got it priced in the upper 50s. And again, why is that? Because I still think this Mets offense is probably slightly better than the Royals offense. If nothing else, it's a wash. I think these two pitchers are a wash. Waka is probably the worst of the Royal starters, and they've all looked great. But both of these pitchers, and I say that Waka's looked good in his first two starts. I just think relative to what else they've got. But he's done great his first two starts. Severino's done great his first two starts. His underlying metrics are even better than his ERA is. Both these pitchers are probably not as good as they've looked in their first two starts, but have done good. Both these offenses are okay, but the Mets have a better bullpen. So Mets 58% makes minus 117 an A grade at the play here. And the reminder to you is the Royals have looked good all season. The Mets just put up like 12 or whatever against the Braves. So it's not like the Mets are coming off a 27-inning scoreless streak too, right? Nobody would have ever predicted that they would just put up double digits on the Braves like this. So they clearly can score. I'm not saying they put up 12 against the Royals. I'm just saying you need no further than today as proof that just being like, oh, the Mets are terrible, they might not be. And that's why we're always price sensitive and making sure we get a good price. That doesn't mean we're going to win every game. It just means that in the long run, we're going to lose less when we lose and win more when we win, and that's going to slowly grow our bankroll once we get through the ups and downs of the roller coaster that we've been experiencing. Now to the Reds and the White Sox. Can go to the total market here and take over 9. The model, I think, would lean you to the White Sox in this game. I am not going to be backing Chris Flexen unless the price is amazing. So model would lean White Sox, which is just to remind everyone what I've been saying here with, I think, the fact that the Reds are a little bit overvalued early on, and I think we should not be playing the Reds, but I'm not playing the White Sox either. And I'm not even interested in the first 5 mark on the White Sox because Chris Flexen is very bad, might be one of the worst pitchers in starting baseball. And that's part of the reason why we're going over 9. Model says 9.6. Weather-wise, we're going to have low 50s, but the wind will be blowing out pretty strong, 10 to 15 miles an hour to center field. That's going to give a slight boost to the number of runs. And you got Chris Flexen, you got some terrible relievers from the White Sox. Then you got Andrew Abbott for the Reds, who's by far the best pitcher that should appear in this game until potentially the 9th inning of a tight ball game. But then you've got a bunch of bad relievers from the Reds. So neither one of these offenses is great, but with the pitching this week, major league hitters should be able to score some runs. So over 9 makes a lot of sense here. B-grade pick. Love the push protection on 9. Again, as the model projects 9.6. Rangers and the Astros. Another reminder that sports betting is not easy. It's not as simple as just to look at these things, because you might look at this and say, Rangers plus odds against the Astros who look terrible. Oh, my goodness. This is too easy. And again, sometimes it is that easy. Sometimes it's not. We're going to back the Astros here at minus 125. For those of you who are new and don't know, I've told the story a number of times, but I mean, I was at game 6 of the 2021 World Series when the Braves won, and our official pick that day was on the Braves to win the game. So that's the biggest stage possible was at the game. It was the literal last game I wanted my team to lose. So I will pick against my team. That's not a problem. The Astros are the smarter play here because they still have the better offense. Starting pitching wise is probably a wash, and it might actually lean to the Astros. JP France's underlying metrics are a lot better than Dunning so far this season. I'm not saying it does lean Astros. I'm just saying if it leans anyway, that's the way it leans, because Dunning's FIP is over 6 this year, whereas France's is below 2.5. I'm not going to overreact. I'm not going to say like definitively anything, because again, it's only 2 games, but I'm just saying if there's an edge, it's probably to the Astros. The concern about this game is the Astros are like dead in their bullpen, but they're losing bad enough right now that I would have to imagine we're not going to see any of their top arms pitch on Thursday. They didn't pitch on Wednesday, which means their top guys, their 3 best relievers, all ought to be able to pitch. This is one where the only downside of doing the show this early is we have to asterisk this. So this game's still happening right now. So I might post on Twitter. I'll post on Dub Club. Just kind of my updated thoughts on this one. But if the Astros end up using, for whatever reason, you know, Abreu Presley Hader in this, you know, blowout of a game in Kansas City, that's tough because I don't know who's going to pitch in relief. If they just figure it out and throw whoever they're going to throw, with those guys fresh, I think the Astros make a little bit of sense at minus 125. Those guys are throwing, I don't want any part of them at that price. So it kind of just depends. They're going to really need a strong outing from JP France, who's not really been a guy who's gone seven, but they at least need six from him. And then I think they can finish it out from there. This Rangers team is good, but on the road here, I still have to say that we're not going to overreact to things. The Astros had a lot of guys on base in almost every inning so far, it seems like, in Kansas City. They'll put it together and score a bunch of runs. You saw that they did it on Monday against the Rangers. So at minus 125, C-grade pick on the Astros. Not the greatest value in the world, but worth a small investment in that one. 9:40 p.m. Cardinals and the Diamondbacks. We're going to go under 9. Projecting the roof to be open or closed doesn't really matter. It should play out about the same. We're talking upper 70s, low 70s. Should be a very nice night if they're open in the park, the roof or not. I don't think it'll change too much here in the model calculations of things. If they do close the roof and the air gets a little bit stale, I like this under 9 even more, but the model doesn't have that really built into it. So the projection of 8.7 is kind of independent on any sort of stale air type effect that you might see in Arizona. Like this under because I think both of these pitchers are a little bit underrated. Brandon Pfaadt, 5.06 ERA on the season, but the underlying metrics are really good for him. And I mentioned it before, I like what I saw from him last year. So the results haven't been there yet this year, but I think they're coming if he just keeps on keeping on. Steven Matz is a guy I've been high on for a while now, wondering why he wasn't getting a little bit more play. Sub 2 ERA on the season. Underlying metrics, not that good, of course, but that's not really saying a ton. And, you know, but still very respectable. So you got respectable pitching, mediocre offenses. I mean, this should just kind of play out run-of-the-mill average. Run-of-the-mill average type thing sets you up for 7, 8, 9 runs. There's not really anything here that I see that's going to lead you to a lot of runs because the way that runs happen in this game are the Diamondbacks offense gets going. Steven Matz is pretty decent. Cardinals have a bunch of good relievers. It's probably the strength of their team. And I just don't trust this Cardinals offense to really get anything going off Brandon Pfaadt. So I think we've got a little bit of value here because I think people are maybe disrespecting these starting pitchers. So that's what makes under 9 the play here. Only C-grade value at minus 105, but I think worth the play. 9:40 p.m. Cubs and the Mariners, a chilly night in Seattle. Again, they do have a roof there, but the roof doesn't actually enclose the stadium, so it'll still be cold no matter what they do. The roof just helps prevent rain from coming in. Wind will be blowing in from center field at about 10 miles an hour, so this is going to be a pretty pitcher-friendly atmosphere in Seattle. Always tends to play out that way. Other than, you know, day games and the occasional, you know, sunny day in Seattle. But you don't get a lot of those. So another pitcher-friendly night. The total is definitely something I'm eyeing, especially if it's the first five market. I think the way it's priced now, I don't think I'm getting a ton of value specifically off of the value of where the numbers are. So the first five might be more appealing. But again, we'll have an update for everyone on Dub Club in the morning. Instead, we're going to go Mariners minus 114 as a B-grade pick. I don't think there's a lot of difference in these teams. This is very similar to the Mets game until you get to the bullpens at the back end of the game, and that's where the, just like the Mets have the advantage there against the Royals, the Mariners have the advantage here against the Cubs. Otherwise, those starting pitchers, Bryce Miller, Jordan Wicks, both very fine. Wicks, 4.15 ERA in the season. Underlying metrics, though, pretty promising. Nothing overly amazing, but not bad either. Bryce Miller's looked very good in his two starts, so kudos to him. Underlying metrics are very solid, so he's trending the right direction. Cubs may be a slight edge on offense, but that's just a really big edge in the Mariners' bullpen. The game's in Seattle, and so not quite as big a favorites as we have the Mets. The Mets were 58%, this is 55%, and so that's why a very similar price setup is only a B grade or an A grade. If we get a better price than that, that's the A grade. Again, the difference between the grades is not necessarily anything about locks, anything about making sure we hit it. It's just saying these are the ones that if we continue to put more money in the long run, things will go better for us. And so if we can get a better price, we want a little bit more on it. But minus 114 is still worth the investment, just not going to go as heavy in, as other games as of right now. So it'd be a great pick on the Mariners, minus 114. And then two more late games here with no official picks, but we will discuss a couple things about them here. Jake Irvin and Paul Blackburn will be the starters in Nats and A's. Blackburn is probably the A's best pitcher. As you can see there on screen, his grade is right around league average. He's the better pitcher on this one. I'd like to back the A's on this one. When I first pulled lines in, the A's were like minus 115, and I think that was a B grade, if I remember correctly. But like before I could even get this out to anybody, it had already jumped to minus 125. So who knows where the number will go on this one. If it drops back to minus 115, the A's are worth a pick. Their bullpen isn't great, but as I mentioned, when they play tight games, they've got some good guys, and so they can use those arms. And it's not great, but the Nats bullpen isn't any better. Offensively, neither one of these offenses is great. They're both not like the worst, but they're not that great. So, I mean, this boils down to the A's just having a much better starting pitcher in Blackburn versus Irvin. When you look at the season results, Blackburn hasn't allowed an earned run all season. Underlying metrics, though, put him at still very good. Irvin's not as bad as Eddie RA. It's just I just don't think he's a very good pitcher. Here's the other concern about this game. The A's are playing right now in a tight game against the Rangers. If they end up using Mason Miller, he's the guy that matters. He's their only good reliever. They use him for one inning, especially if they use him for two. That changes things a little bit for the A's full game and makes you think maybe more first five. This is another situation where sometimes I'm not very smart, and y'all just got to be smarter than me. You got to do as I say, not as I do, I guess. I don't know. I mentioned it last time Blackburn pitched. I was like, we should probably back him first five, but I just don't love the price. And then it was like an easy winner. Or maybe it was 2 times ago. Maybe I actually backed him off. I can't remember. But there's been multiple times like that where I've been like, this makes a lot of sense. And then I'm just scared of the price. And then it like it's an easy winner. So sometimes you just got to do it, right? So maybe Blackburn first five, maybe just do it. We'll see what the price is, if it's an official pick or not tomorrow. But it's kind of hard not to like the A's in this spot. The other way to look at this game is the over. I'm not locking in the over 8 right now. It would be a C grade pick. I'm not locking it in almost for the same reason I'm not locking in the total for the Mariners Cubs, and that number 8 just doesn't really get me that excited. I'd almost rather play over 8.5 at like +1, you know, 20 or whatever you can get it. Over 7.5 isn't that exciting either. So maybe we just wait for a first five market. I don't know. There's just, I think A's and over, some combination of that makes sense. Maybe A's team total over, I don't know. I just want to see the first five markets to find what our best play is here. Because right now I'm just not like in love with the numbers as they are. But as you shop around again, if you're with us in Dub Club, you've got summary sheets, so you can find all this information and kind of see what we're looking for. We talk about these things. I make some notes in the post on Dub Club. We talk about them in Discord. You can always ping me and ask a question about it, you know, what I would choose or how, you know, what I'm thinking about certain things. But like I said, for now, just no official pick. I'm leaning A's. I'm leaning over. I just, right now, the full game markets are very meh. Let's see if the first five markets offer us a little bit more value. And if so, maybe one of those, or both, is worth jumping on. But for now, no play. And then in the late one, another game that I think the first five markets might offer us some value, specifically because the bullpen of the Padres, which we've long talked about being a concern, things will start off okay for them. Michael King has looked pretty good from a results standpoint in his first two games, but the underlying metrics are a concern. If he continues to pitch like the underlying metrics, that rating's going to trend towards average, and average pitchers tend to get lit up against the Dodgers. So that's a concern. This Padres offense just not that good. Lost a couple key guys, of course. They don't have a lot of depth once they get past their top guys. And obviously they're going up against the best, you know, best or second best offense in baseball. Relievers, big edge, the Dodgers. Yamamoto has now had 3 starts, really good underlying metrics. ERA starting to come down. So the Dodgers have an edge there, starting pitcher. They have an edge at offense, they have an edge at bullpen, they have an edge everywhere. And That's why the model says they win 2 out of 3 times. Here's the issue. That's minus 196. Dodgers are priced at minus 195. So it's like, that's, I guess, C-grade value if you want to play the Dodgers. I don't think it's the craziest thing, but like, let's at least see the run line market. Let's see if there's an edge on the run line. There probably isn't with the way it's the Dodgers, but maybe it makes minus one worth a play. Maybe this line gets away from us and we start looking first five. Maybe the total market comes into play because things got like the Padres are one of the weird teams that most teams have bad bullpens, have bad starters, and the Padres are one of the ones that aren't like that. So sometimes the first five markets can like randomly offer some value. So I want to see more of what's happening on this one, because right now I'm like, it's Dodgers or pass until you get to a price for the Padres of like plus 250 or something ridiculous that you're probably never going to see. So I want to make sure we get all the markets to look at here. So my plan for this is these early picks is kind of saying, hey, well, here's the ones we're just going to lock in. Let's go. These are the ones that are the good picks. Here's kind of how I'm thinking about it. And let's be patiently wait and see. And again, Dub Club in the morning, we'll get the full update of exactly where we go with some of these games. I think there might be some value here somewhere, whether it's a first five market or the Dodgers first five or a Dodgers run line or a Dodgers minus one. But as of right now, I just want to see all that before we officially lock anything in. And that's going to do it now for our show for Friday Baseball. Remember, on Dub Club, you get the Discord chat group. More picks, starting pitcher changes. We've got, again, the three games off line, so we don't have to confirm for any pitchers. Maybe that'll change. And if you're sitting here watching the show going, no, it's so-and-so pitching, well, I probably know that when you do. I just didn't when I recorded this. And so we'll get that information out to everybody on Dub Club. All these summaries, all the information. Check it out if you haven't yet. Again, we're in a weird roller coaster right now for baseball. I hope it evens out, but if nothing else, historically, we've shown this roller coaster is a long-term trend up. It's just been so bouncy so far. It's not what I'm hoping for, but if we keep that long trend going up, that's really all that matters. So hopefully we can get rolling again here pretty soon on that. But Dub Club is the place to be to get all the other information, all the other extra stuff. Sign up link in the show description. But as always, best of luck. And remember, you can eat your betting money, but please don't bet your eating money.